And then we can all go back to goofing off.
Word.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we are talking about Thor Ragnarok. What do we like? What do we not like? Oh, and by the way, we're going to spoil the shit out of it.
We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. Geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am your host, Tim Wick. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Molly Glover. And Nick Glover.
The revolution has begun.
That was terrible.
Ragnarok, motherfuckers. Mm-hmm. All right. We are here to
Thor.
We are here to talk about Thor Ragnarok. And before we talk about Thor Ragnarok, we'd like to give our normal disclaimer to you, our listeners, and say we are going to spoil the shit out of this movie. Now, you are geeks. We are geeks. I feel the odds are you've already seen this movie, so it's not a big deal. But just in case you somehow have not managed to make it to a theater to see Thor Ragnarok.
Which is totally okay. It happens.
It happens.
Yeah,
like, it's a shame.
We're not judging you, although we're kind of judging you. But we are going to spoil the shit out of Thor Ragnarok. You're going to find out shit about Thor Ragnarok you didn't want to find
out. We'll be here when you get back.
Be here when you get back. So
bye.
I think we got rid of those folks.
I feel like the trailers gave away a lot. So, like, if you've seen the trailers for Thor Ragnarok, like...
Yeah.
I feel like you...
There's a fair amount of spoiler territory the trailers go into.
I thought that the movie was good. I thought it was fun and campy and silly and good. I didn't think it was amazing, and I wouldn't put it in my top, probably not even my top five Marvel movies, but I really liked it. Mm-hmm. It was a fun movie, and I thought that it was entertaining, more, which to me is like the most important thing a movie needs to do, is be entertaining.
I thought it was more fun than a lot of Marvel movies.
That's true.
Like it's up there with Guardians 1, Guardians 2. Like, it is... And that might be more important to you than, you know, why Winter Soldier might be your favorite Marvel movie, right? Like,
yeah, if you're really into plot advancement, this may not be the one for you.
No, this one doesn't really advance the Marvel universe in any particularly important
Other than
direction.
Loki probably has a cosmic cube now. Like, almost certainly.
Thanos does, you mean? Yeah.
No, was that Thanos pretending to be Loki?
Credit cookie, I'm virtually positive that
it's
was
Sanctuary
Thanos.
2. It's Thanos' ship. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're kind of, and Loki grabbed the cosmic cube.
That was great. He's like, walking, oh, hello. Like walked backwards.
you know he didn't just leave it there because he's Loki. And that doesn't happen. Yeah, I mean, I think it was a really fun movie. It was... Again, I mean, it didn't advance the Marvel Cinematic Universe in any particularly important direction. It got Doctor Strange more integrated, even though, you know, the credit cookie at the end of Doc Strange was literally just a scene lifted from this film.
It set it up time-wise, so we know, like, Thor takes place directly after that.
Mm-hmm.
But also, it was fun to see Stephen Strange... in his role as Sorcerer Supreme. Like we saw him get the job in the Doctor Strange movie, but in this movie, even if it was just for a minute or two, we got to see him performing the duties of his job.
Yeah.
I dug that. Like, I liked that.
That was nice. It was a nice moment.
A lot of the Doctor Strange comic is him dealing with something because he's Sorcerer Supreme, and that's just like, it's like a job comic.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
Like, that's his job.
I gotta be Sorcerer Supreme now.
I was super disappointed that they used Immigrant Song in the exact same way twice. That just disappointed me. I felt like one of those two, like, it makes the second one just be like, oh, okay.
They could use a different song.
A different song, yeah.
Like Thor could have multiple theme songs.
Like, maybe have a different song. Like, I don't know. It just felt weird to have that part of it twice. that exact like eight bars or whatever it is that they use of it.
Yeah.
Just the part with "I come from a land of the ice and snow," just the opening. And that song has a lot of verses, and they're all still about Norse mythology. So like it's weird. It was a weird choice.
All right. So, but I think we ought to talk about our favorite parts of the movie first. And then maybe we'll talk about critiques. We've already run into one, but if there are any critiques, so Nick, favorite part of the movie?
Boy, I liked. So I feel like I don't want to say Korg, because like Korg is like the Groot of this movie. Like everyone is going to love Korg. Korg is something we'll talk about. I think my favorite part of the movie, plot-wise and all that, is that the plot's kind of circular, like a Norse myth. The Surtur's crown in the eternal flame to destroy all of Asgard and all that ends up being the thing that they need to make happen, rather than the thing that they need to prevent happening. Even though that movie opens with him preventing it from happening. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
I feel like that's like a thing that God's got to do. Like, God's like American gods. Like, they got to be tricky.
Yeah.
They got to be clever in some way. They have to take a prophecy and use it against itself or to their advantage.
Yeah.
And I really like that. Even though I know some people complained about basically nothing happens in the movie. Well, yeah, basically nothing happens in the movie because of some really clever and fun stuff that happens.
Some people, some people, like, I don't know, friend of the show, Bill Steitler.
He really hated this
movie.
He
really hated this movie.
Yeah, I liked that part. I liked that I never thought we'd ever see Surtur, the fire giant, in a Marvel movie, all huge and swinging a sword around with his ugly face and like murdering cities. Like, that was kind of dope. That was like truly epic in scale. I was glad to see it.
Awesome. All right, Molly.
I really think my favorite part in all was Hela. She was just such a cool villain, and it was such a great antagonist, and just like her look, her style, the way that Kate Blanchett played her, all of that was really great. And to quote another guest of our show, Matt Kesson said, I didn't know that I was going to like goth Kate Blanchett as much as I do, but now it's my new sexuality. It's just like,
he did say that.
Yeah.
Which I thought was impressive.
Yeah.
I thought
she's super great. I loved the way her like hair, she changed from hair to horns, was cool. I feel like they did it so much. Like
they did.
There were times where she like put on hair just to have it for two exchanges of words to then put on her helmet again.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that saved him like $20,000.
Yeah. I liked it though. I thought that she was a really good antagonist that felt like there were consequences. But at the same time, because you can travel from world to world, they weren't like crazy consequences. It just, it's, Marvel consequences always feel a little distant these days in the movies because they're so grand. It's like the whole world ending. Like, I can't
the universe
wrap my brain
can end.
Around it. Yeah.
In this one, it's not necessarily, I mean, she's probably going to be trying to go after other realms and trying to fuck them up. So, I mean, there's certainly a danger
here.
She wins,
she gets Asgard.
I feel, you know, just to cross the streams for a moment, I felt like, you know, the Cate Blanchett Hela was sort of what happens if Galadriel had taken the ring.
Yeah.
I totally get that.
I'm like when I watch Lord of the Rings now, I'm going to be like, I know what's going to happen if she takes the ring.
Don't have to do it. Yeah.
So they got her look right out of the comics as it's evolved with time, the character's look. I really loved the super comic booky costume, like looks super great on her.
Yeah.
So there's a theory kind of going around. I kind of dig this. So Thanos courts death, like literally, like he is like there's like a female psychopomp.
Yeah.
Death that Thanos is like in love with.
That's
one of the reasons why he is murderous, is because he's like trying to win death's favor.
Yeah.
So I wonder if Hela, the goddess of death, will be the death that Thanos is courting.
That'd be kind of cool.
That would be cool.
Because it would be a way to do it without, because the psychopomp's kind of cheesy. Like I don't think they'll do that for a movie. But this way they could incorporate her and her power and all that, and he could be promising her Asgard or whatever.
I like that.
You know,
that would be
Asgard. But Asgard's not a place; it's people.
Yeah, whatever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was like
Asgard's an equation, Tim. It's a very complicated set of mathematical criteria. That
okay. So,
what's your
what was your
thing,
favorite?
Yeah. My favorite was actually, you know, in the movie had a lot of really fun parts, but my favorite, I actually really liked the moment that they set up with Thor and Loki when they're riding the elevator, and Loki's like, you know, you basically don't, you don't think very much of me, and Thor's like, actually, I think a lot of you, and that's why I keep allowing myself to believe, essentially, that you're going to turn into a decent person. And then when he doesn't, I just love that Thor's like, no, you do the same goddamn thing every time.
Mm-hmm.
I've figured it out now.
Yeah.
I've got it. You've basically
Charlie Brown in the football.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah,
he,
totally.
That was a great moment because, number one, it was this nice moment where we're reminded that Thor, for all the shit that Loki does, the reason Thor is a hero is because he always wants to think the best of Loki. But at the same time, we're reminded that Thor isn't stupid and has figured out basically what Loki
does.
He's
not stupid. He's just forgiving and trusting.
Yeah.
And everyone has a breaking point.
And I enjoy that it was basically, well, all right, Thor has reached the point where he's like, no, fuck Loki, I don't fucking trust you ever. That is never something I'm going to do.
When Hulk and Thor are fighting the first time in the Colosseum, and he swings Thor.
Jeff Goldblum's champion.
He swings Thor back and forth against the ground like he does to Loki when he says puny god in the Avengers movie, and Loki cheers so great for that.
Yeah, yeah.
So cut from the movie was a nod back to that scene and to the Avengers where Loki is standing next to the Hulk, and the Hulk just sticks his arm straight out to the side and punches Loki out of frame, as he did to Thor in the Avengers movie. And Thor was going to see it and point and laugh and be like, ha ha ha, that's what it feels like. So they would have both gotten their reciprocal moments.
So they cut some silliness, though. Like, they knew that there was some silliness.
There were things that I guess were too silly. All right.
Yeah.
So, least favorite thing about the movie. Something that bugged you about the movie.
Because, the music was a small thing. I don't feel like that qualifies.
All right. I know. I'm giving you another one, Molly. You get two. All right. Congratulations. Nick, Molly's thinking. You're thinking,
I gotta think, too, yeah.
Well, if I can... I mean, I guess... I guess my I felt like, I don't know how to put this. I don't find Hulk to be a super compelling character, just personally. He's all right. I don't like dislike him or anything, but as a result, the large amount of Hulk scenes and Hulk revolving around scenes and like a god versus, again, we're back to ultimate smash 'em ups where no one can get hurt. You know, like, there's no consequences for a god and not for Hulk either, right? So, like, they can just smash the shit out of each other for a while. And so that's, like, that's where my attention starts to get, like, oh, okay. Like, it's... And so that's my only... I have no other criticisms. I had a really good time. But that's my main thing was, like, the Hulk stuff makes me bored.
Fair.
Just a little more bored.
Hulk stuff makes you bored. Hulk still makes bored.
I liked Thor. Because, like, I liked in the first one how it was more about Thor interacting with mortals. I've always enjoyed Thor interacting with mortals, and there was none of that in this film. So I get it. More Jeff Goldblum would have been acceptable. Less Hulk. I very much
more
like Jeff
Goldblum, less Hulk.
What do you think, Tim?
I wasn't nuts about the way that a whole lot of the stuff that's happened in the first two Thor movies kind of got dismissed. Like, all of his like merry band of brothers, they just killed them all off.
The Warriors 3. I was thinking about that too.
They just killed them off, and I didn't like that. I didn't like the fact that, you know, his girlfriend is just like, oh, they broke up.
Jane Foster.
Yeah, Jane was just gone. The professor that he was was part of it, the dude was just gone.
And
like,
to me, it's
all
like,
the Earth stuff.
And that stuff was like, well, I get that the what they're going on has nothing to do with these earthbound relationships, but why not just not bring them up?
I feel like if they're gonna like good riddance the first two movies, they have to at least acknowledge that they're kind of like,
is that what they're doing?
Remember that shit? Fuck that. Like, I mean, it happened, it's canon, but
yeah,
clearly they're doing Thor as more of a cosmic character.
Yeah, yeah. No, now that they've got Doctor Strange,
and
especially.
I think Thor is probably going to be more successful as a cosmic character.
Yeah.
Especially with Infinity.
That's a good point. We are in phase three now, which is important to know that because we're in phase three, shit's going to change. Like, our characters, they have to. Our characters can't be the same as
Thor and Captain Marvel and there's a lot of things that are going to be space-oriented.
So, Guardians, Captain Marvel, Thor, who else do you think?
Well, Skrulls are going to be introduced with Carol Danvers and Captain Marvel. Mm-hmm.
You would think.
Would you put Doctor Strange in with those guys? Because he has the ability to be in those cosmic dimensions.
Yeah, sometimes.
Because magic and cosmic powers are pretty similar.
Doctor Strange is going to show up in Infinity, I assume.
Yeah.
I get it in one sense. In another sense, I almost felt like it was kind of a disappointment that they're like, oh, we're going to acknowledge the Jane Foster relationship and then basically say, yeah, it's not a thing anymore. We're done.
Yeah.
And these characters that are supposed to be like his warrior buddies, and they're just killed off. Thor's not even there. There's not an opportunity. To me, it's like that was a moment that was a heavy moment for Thor if he's there.
Yeah.
That Hela has killed off his friends. And since everything that Hela did to Asgard, she did basically before Thor shows up to save it. There isn't a moment where Thor recognizes the weight and the personal consequences of the situation, which I thought was too bad. It's not like, oh, that made the movie shitty. It was something that I wasn't nuts about. So Nick,
I know mine. I didn't like the old man Odin in khaki pants standing on a hillside.
Yeah, that was weird.
They're like, it's okay, my boy. You've got the power now. You're the shine. You're the chosen one.
I feel like I'd blacked that out.
He'd disappear into a flutter of gold confetti or sparkles, and then he'd come back, and then he'd do it again. It was just like, nah, I could have done without that. This all could have been acted on his face. He could have been just, you know.
I forgot about the hammer breaking. How do we feel about the hammer breaking?
I'm right with that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Has Hela shattered his head? Like, is that just it then? No more meow meow?
Well, it's forged by, it's Uru steel.
Right.
It's forged by a dwarf.
Right.
Or something.
Has he historically had it broken and gone to get a new one?
I think it's broken a couple times.
Yeah, I got to think that they haven't been able to make through that many years of Thor without breaking the hammer every now and again.
Most recently, it was Thor was made unworthy somehow.
Right.
Nick Fury, the original Nick Fury, who kind of knew everyone's secrets and knew everyone's shame, whispered something to Thor that made Thor acknowledge his own unworthiness, and he lost the hammer.
But it didn't shatter.
It did not shatter, but that's how we got the newer Thor, the female Thor, who is actually Jane Foster.
Okay.
Sorry if that is a spoiler.
Spoiler, comic readers. But that's been like canon for years.
It's kind of old news at this point. It's still good. So the Thor comic with him without his hammer, though, is super fun. He's like trying to figure out his place now that he's not worthy, and like just because a hammer doesn't think he's worthy doesn't mean he's not good.
Also, fuck religion, am I right? Like that's kind of how I would totally interpret that as you could easily write an unworthy Thor finding his own true worthiness as a atheist kind of thing.
Super recently, if you guys don't mind if I like rant about the Thor comics just for a second,
as
it relates to atheism. Super recently, Jason Aaron's Thor comics that just preceded the female Thor, like this is the story leading up to that, kind of. There's this storyline called the God Killer. And it's this dude who lived on a planet whose prayers were tended or answered to by the Norse gods.
Okay.
Like they are responsible for other worlds as well as ours, you know, because it's nine realms.
Yep.
And this dude's family is killed or famine or something bad happens. And so he's like, yeah, we prayed. We prayed and no one answered. And since the gods are real, I've decided that we need to get rid of gods and kill them all. Yeah. And so he becomes a god killer and he becomes a god hunter. And it's really great. Deals
the
with
saint
the,
of all killers almost.
Deals
like,
with the religion side of Thor in a really interesting way, where it's, you can't really be an atheist if you know there are fucking gods. Mm-hmm. Yet if the gods exist and they're still being dickholes and not doing anything when they could, like, fuck the gods.
Yeah. That's great. That's great.
Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
No, that's cool. So let's see. Other stuff I liked. I enjoy the fact that Matt Damon is now part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
He's an actor on Sakaar. Yeah. No, he's an actor in Asgard.
In Asgard. Well, wherever they are now. Funny. I mean, assuming he survived.
It was super funny.
Yeah.
It took me a long second to make sure it wasn't Chris Pine. Because sometimes Chris Pine in a certain levels of makeup looks like Matt Damon, like a younger Matt Damon. It's weird. So
there's like 12 white actors that all look like that.
And the Chris, the white handsome Chris phenomenon is amazing. Because it's Chris Pratt, Chris Evans, Chris Pine, Chris Hemsworth. And the four of them are all in superhero movies and they all look the fucking same and they're all named Chris. It's too much.
And then there's Matt Damon.
Yeah.
Matt Damon.
Who's actor Loki. Actor Loki, which I enjoyed that.
I liked that too. The like cringing like and just, I don't know, that's a very, it's a very thing. Like you see that in Game of Thrones, you see that in a lot of fantasy stories where like the tale of what's been happening in the book and you're like as the reader able to be like, oh, the peasants have no idea what goes on behind the doors of the kingdom.
Tim, you saw What We Do in Shadows, right?
I have not seen it yet.
Mm-hmm. Really?
No, I know.
Okay,
I know.
I suck. You watch that so we can talk about it because we've got a good reason to talk about it now because there's other things that are coming from it.
But. So Taika Waititi, the director, writer, I think, of What We Do in Shadows, he's the guy that directed Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah.
He's also the guy that voiced Korg, the rock man.
the super polite Australian or New Zealander.
Yeah. New Zealand.
New Zealand, Kiwi.
New Zealand rock. Yeah.
He is Australian.
Oh.
Kiwi is slang for Australian, like Yank for American.
No, Kiwi's slang for New Zealand.
Is it slang for New Zealand?
Bird.
Is it Aussie then for Australian?
Their national bird is a kiwi.
I thought the national bird for Australia was the kiwi. It's probably just some sort of venomous monster instead.
Oh, probably, no, because the thing about New Zealand, I mean, you know this, right? That New Zealand doesn't have any native mammals.
Right.
So what they have is all sorts of flightless birds that have basically filled in the niches that mammals would have had. So they have like
a mammal. They have like a flightless bird that is like a house cat or just like knocks shit down all the time. And
a flightless bird that like chews down trees like beavers.
And a flightless bird that they milk.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've got a flightless bird that is like a dolphin.
Wait a minute.
Oh, they milk it all right.
All right. So anyway.
Yeah. So
speaking of kiwis.
Korg was funny. Like I really appreciated.
Yeah. He was funny.
The like subtle kindness to his.
He was super. You know, he was super chill. You know.
Yeah. Revolution.
The movie took a lot of left turns. Like there were a lot of times where I was expecting one thing and then the movie would kind of go a different direction and it was pleasing to me. I don't know. I think that overall I think it was a lot of fun. I don't know. I can see how someone, it's like I love Nine Inch Nails and someone can lay out a lot of arguments, or Stephen King, and someone can lay out a lot of arguments for me as to why they don't like it. And I'm going to be like, I agree with every single one of these points. And I don't care. Like, I still like it. I don't know what to tell you. Like,
subjectively, it's
yeah,
good to
yeah.
me.
I can't. Yeah, yeah, sure. Those all sound like valid reasons not to like the movie. But none of it bothered me.
I have all these valid reasons to like them, and they trump your non-valid reasons.
It's interesting. I wasn't expecting this movie to be so polarizing in the geek community.
It is odd.
But it is like people are in a very much like I love it, it's my favorite and or second favorite Marvel movie.
Which is insane. I don't even understand
it's that. It's fucking garbage and I want my money back.
And it's the worst Marvel movie ever. And I'm like, really? Really? Okay. So I do have to, by the way, before we go to five questions, I have to point out, because I didn't point out at the beginning, we are recording at OmegaCon.
OmegaCon.
So
we locked the door, so we're recording alone.
We're in the culturally insensitive room. Which was renamed for the weekend, but the sign already fell down. So
all you need to know about this room is that there is a hanging piece of art that is five leather whips with fringe attached to each other.
There's just a saw blade on that wall.
Yeah,
a saw
blade we are in the farmhouse S&M room.
It is a farmhouse BDSM room
for sure.
And with that, we're going to move on to five questions.
Like, there's no way a woman doesn't get tied up to that thing over there.
All right.
or whatever.
Or a cow or a man.
That's great radio. So, Molly,
yeah,
we have five questions. Who are they from?
Nolan.
Is that it? Nolan doesn't have any introductory anything? All right,
nope.
Nick, why don't you start
us out? I don't even know if Nolan's their real name. I don't ask, Tim. I don't ask questions.
Well, we do ask questions because Nolan's got
answers. I don't ask those kinds of questions.
What conspiracy theory do you find most interesting or compelling?
It's not that I personally find this conspiracy theory compelling. It's that I find it interesting people believe this. The theory is known as the chemtrail conspiracy theory. The theory is that the jet streams emitted by aircraft are actually a chemical mixture that the government created as a type of mind control substance to poison us people into believing what they tell us.
Sure.
When all they are is a trail of condensation in the atmosphere. I love that everyone... it's like it makes them feel dirty to say they like
a
theory.
I know, it's like I feel bad.
So they have to start it off by saying, I don't actually think this. Like everyone, it's great.
Chemtrails, I think it's the first time anybody's brought up chemtrails.
I love the idea of chemtrails. Like when I see them up in the sky, it makes me so happy to know that somewhere someone is like super upset.
I know. That's the greatest ever. You just know that it's ruining their day, and because they're stupid and wrong, it's
does
okay.
Does it make your autism hum when you see
it? Yeah, I know it does. It's I'm like, that's nice. That just it feels like everything's right with the world. And actually, when I was a little kid, it used to make me think of Dark Tower because the path of the beam. So if there were like multiple lions in the sky all going one way, it felt like a super importantly a good day. Like it was weird.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay. So question number two, money is no object. Physics is a limiting factor. What's your ideal two-week vacation?
My personal favorite two-week vacation is a trip to the Big Apple, a.k.a. New York City, and dedicate each day to a different section of the city. Spend a day in Queens, the Bronx, Manhattan, etc., and just find the idea of a big city with different types of architecture, people, and businesses gorgeous. If not, then I'd love to live it out in the Arctic up in Longyearbyen, Svalbard.
Well, I don't know why I wouldn't.
New York City or the Arctic.
Yeah, that's crazy. I know. I mean, I find
all the people are no people.
I find it interesting. You know, it's like, well, if I can't do that, well, of course you can do that.
I like these. It's like, oh, New York is busy during the 2 weeks you want to go, though. So
no, you can't.
New York is fully booked, so they can't. They have no space.
I mean, those both sound like great vacations.
I think those are good.
But you could do either one of them. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
No, yeah. 50, 50.
All right.
Question number three.
Yes.
What's a movie or a book that changed your life?
A book that changed my life is the famous bestseller Divergent, and only the first book. Fuck the two sequels and fuck the movies as well.
Ooh.
Nolan's on my... I'm a fan of Nolan right now. This is where I got...
You read the first one, didn't you?
Yes, and Nolan is correct. Divergent is good. The other ones are bad. The entire book takes place in Chicago, Illinois, hundreds of years in the future. The city is split into five factions based on personality traits, and it's social injustice and neglect to people who don't fit in one of those factions. Reading this book opened my mind on how we treat people in today's world and how we exclude a person just because they're different, like someone's religion, sexual orientation, race, etc. Well, the book's focus isn't this head-on, except it kind of is in the form of metaphors.
It's the Myers-Briggs apocalypse.
Yeah, it is. It's good. I really liked the first one a lot. It had some like twisty turns where you know it's like, I mean it's like, oh, you always thought you were from the one house, but your testing is possibly from multiple houses.
No.
How can this be? Your mother has a secret. I'm not from this house.
Dun, dun, dun.
And like, yeah, it's crazy.
Dun, dun,
yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, it's good though.
I haven't seen the movie or read the book, so good
same.
There.
Yeah.
Question number four, what is the geekiest thing you have ever done?
The first time I ever wore my Doctor Who shirt to school, and my English teacher asked me about the shirt and insisted I walked up to the front of the classroom and to explain to everyone what Doctor Who was.
Oh, boy.
Did you explain every season? Because that would be the greatest.
I'm not sure.
It doesn't say, but it would be like, all right, so in season one.
Sounds mean.
Nolan is in high school, so this wasn't too long ago that this happened.
That sounds mean to me, right?
Yeah.
Like, that sounds...
Yeah.
Like purposely singling out a kid is like a dick move.
It's
Nolan, your teacher was kind of a dick.
Well, we don't know everything that happened.
Here's the thing.
Teachers like Nolan, would you like to come up and tell us about
it? Could be. Some teachers are really into like the whole making sure that you introduce yourself thing, which I was not a fan of myself.
Right. I mean, obviously, execution matters.
Yeah.
No doubt. But on its face, it sounds...
If it was shitty, Nolan, we're sorry.
Yeah.
You guys are going to have a big... Yeah. There's a big reveal at the end of this of who All Nolan right. is. I'm very excited for, you to know.
Nolan, what's your favorite hangover cure?
I have never been hungover because I am under 21 and in high school. How dare you, sir? No. I really love listening to your guys' podcast when I'm working on schoolwork or I'm just needing something fun to listen to. You might remember me as the one kid at Convergence that sat in the audience for most of your panels.
Yeah.
And so Nolan has one question for us, you guys. Nolan's a minor. We have to do this.
I haven't had any time to think about this.
By the way, would you still see a Star Wars movie if Michael Bay directed it?
Oh, man.
Yes. All right.
I mean Nick looks really upset.
It sucks. And that is the worst of all conceivable ideas.
Isn't it a terrible question? It's really mean.
Although I'm going to argue that an M. Night Shyamalan Star Wars movie would be worse. But because it would be really boring.
I would always.
All right. So here's why yes, fuck Michael Bay. Fuck M. Night Shyamalan. But also, like, Disney has such rigid control. Like, they said for Rogue One, they shot so many different scenes from different angles and did different takes that they had enough additional footage to do 80% of two more movies.
Yeah.
Like, where they wouldn't have reused 80% of the footage.
It's crazy.
Like, it's nuts.
The trailer wasn't in the movie.
Right. So these movies are so incredibly studio produced. I feel like Michael Bay could do a Star Wars movie, and there'd be so much fucking oversight over him that, like, maybe they wouldn't let him fuck it up. Maybe they'd just let him do good stuff.
Maybe we could get a good Star Wars horror movie from M. Night Shyamalan. The explosions would be awesome, and explosions in Star Wars are important. So
it'd be pod racing.
It'd be so much pod racing.
Maybe a 2-hour pod race.
It'd be a lot of pod racing and a lot of like really tense Sabacc games. I really want to see M. Night Shyamalan's Star Wars movie though. Actually, too, when you said
a one-off horror movie,
like an Outer Rim kind of thing, where there's a twist.
Yeah, but the problem is that Shyamalan, I mean, here's the thing, and
it doesn't have to be a twist.
At first I thought Shyamalan was great, but the more you watch him, the more you're like, the only way he gets good performances out of actors is if he's got good actors, because he can't direct actors for shit.
Well, sure.
And so it's going to be
He's a good movie writer and assembler.
It's going to be a Star Wars movie where you don't care about anybody in the Star Wars movie.
Maybe is okay,
because then you can kill them all off.
This is relevant to this in some way. So, like, all right, have you seen the New Mutants trailer?
Yeah.
They're going to do it as a horror, mutants, like X-Men type franchise.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a horror movie, and it's potentially the first of three.
It starts out like an X-Men movie, but then it's all like horror.
Well, I don't know.
I just see the trailer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. It's. I'm super excited because, like, as Guardians of the Galaxy has kind of showed us, and as Thor's kind of showed us, like, you can do a more comedy superhero movie. Like, a superhero movie doesn't have to be fucking punch 'em up. Like, Ant-Man was kind of a heist movie. Guardians was kind of comedy. Like, we could do a horror movie. We could do, like, I don't know. It makes me excited when people experiment in the genre because, like, if someone does something daring, maybe it'll lead to less of the same movie.
All right. Well, that's fair. That's some good observations on that. Nolan,
and so then maybe Star Wars. Like, maybe that would work for Star Wars.
Maybe.
As Guardians of the Galaxy.
As Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah.
As Guardians of the Galaxy.
So, Nolan, thank you for your questions.
Yeah, good job, Nolan.
You listeners can send in your answers to our 5 questions. Send it to 5questions@geekswithoutgod.com. How many do we have left, Molly?
Not many.
It's like only 2 or 3.
Yeah,
isn't
only
it?
2 or 3.
So we gotta get some folks answering these questions. If you're like, oh, it'll take forever, it will not. It will not take forever. You could have it happen really soon. Also, we are doing great with Patreon. We just had another $5 supporter who wants to remain anonymous. But hey, anonymous supporter.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're not anonymous to us.
Yeah, we know who you are.
Yeah.
We know who you are. And that's all that matters is that you know that right now we're saying, hey, person whose name we're not saying, we know who you are. So thanks. So that's all I got.
So we have a new plan because our ghost hunting plan didn't go so well. Because the ghost hunting place
Are we announcing this?
I think we should. I think we should.
We made up our minds?
I think so.
Okay, what are we going to do?
We're not sure the specifics yet, but we're going to be visiting a psychic.
Yeah. We're gonna go.
We're figuring out the specifics still.
It's too cold for ghost hunting in Minnesota now.
And it's too spotty. The scheduling is too spotty with them. Yeah. But we're going to figure out how we're going to go see a psychic or multiple psychics.
And since it's a psychic, it makes sense. It's cold. We're gonna get a cold reading.
Exactly. So we're gonna talk, and then we'll do that as a special episode for Patreon supporters. So I would imagine that we'll be getting that recorded and up by the end of the year. I think we can commit to that.
Yeah.
So by the end of the year. So if you want to become a Patreon supporter for the first time, now's the time to have access to that special episode.
Awesome. So thanks again for listening. You can follow us on Twitter, follow us on Facebook, and all that other shit. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you the next time we do this podcast, which will be basically a week from today.
Bye.
I didn't want to say anything on the podcast, but I had a thing for Cate Blanchett way before this movie.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Palm reading about my character would be very interesting to me.